Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Monday morning, Monday, December the 7th, 2020, 16 minutes past the hour, and I hope you had a great weekend. You know, it's fun to celebrate these weekends and kind of get away for a few days, enjoy yourself, and of course my mic will be doing funny things here as we start the day, but there we go. I think we're good. Now, there's a lot to talk about here in hour number one, because in hour number two, we are going to do one of my favorite traditions. Now, this is our seventh Christmas on the air here together, and one of my favorite traditions is to go to Santa Claus, Indiana. We only do this at Christmas, and we talk with Santa's head elf, Pat Koch. And she'll be joining us in hour number two this morning. Now, Pat, she'll tell you the story next hour, and we go through it every year. But essentially, there is a post office box in Santa Claus, Indiana, where Santa gets all his letters, and he always responds to all the children's letters. Now, I do want to give you that address. Santa Claus, P.O. Box number 1, that's easy to remember, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. That's Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Now, everybody will get a letter back from Santa Claus, as long as you get it in soon. We're moving right along here in the holiday season, so you'll want to do that soon because Santa's very busy. But Pat Koch has been helping Santa out with this for many, many years, and she has a lot of elves with her helping her out. So write Santa a letter, and you'll learn the story next hour of Santa Claus, Indiana, and Pat Koch, and how this all came to be. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. Now, there's a book that was written, I think, about 5 years ago, because they have been getting letters in Santa Claus, Indiana, I think, since the 1930s. I think this started in the 1930s. So, I have samples of a lot of these letters dating back to 1930. Now, some of them are hard to read because the letters are printed. They are not transcribed. So, if we have some time here this morning, or maybe later on this week, I'll try to go through some of these letters, and I'll give you the date of samples that have been given to Santa Claus over the years. So, we'll have that here as the morning goes along. And this happens every year. People write to Santa. Remember, Santa Claus, Indiana, or Santa Claus, excuse me, it is in Santa Claus, Indiana, but you write to Santa Claus. P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579, and you will get a letter back if time permits. Now, we still are doing our great Christmas card swap here at the station we do every year. If you send us a Christmas card at WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, of course, Marion, Ohio, 43302, and you provide your return address, we will send you a Christmas card back, and we will display your Christmas card in the studio all holiday season long. Again, WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. And we got a couple last week, I believe, from the Heimlich and the Shirk family. So we will start displaying those this week and we'll get cards out in the mail ASAP, as they say. All right, so those are our little housekeeping points that we need to cover this morning. Now, this past weekend, before we get on to the serious stuff here, this past weekend, I went down to Easton in the Columbus area, which I had not been to in quite a while, to go shopping for the upcoming holiday season. Can you believe that all we have is this coming weekend and the following weekend, and that's it? That's all we've got left. We have this week, which leads into this weekend. Then we have all of next week and next weekend. And then Christmas Eve is on the following Thursday. That's all the time we have left in this holiday season. Now, what normally happens with me, now there have been a few years where it really went haywire, but what normally happens is I will take a weekend and I will go out and I will just look around and get ideas for what I want to buy. And then usually the weekend after that is when I go out and actually purchase the gifts. So I guess this first weekend in December at Easton was me kind of looking around, seeing what was available. And here's what I can tell you about Easton this past weekend. What a beautiful place. Again, it's kind of like the Columbus Commons, which I've been talking about the last 2 weeks. It is so beautifully decorated on the streets. But when you go into the stores are so beautifully decorated. The mall is so beautifully decorated. It's just a great place to be at the holiday time. And to see a mall still thriving is really a nice thing. To see those malls just people galore. And I'll tell you, it's interesting because of the pandemic, the COVID, malls tend to have smaller stores, except the big stores like Macy's and so on and so forth. But the smaller stores can only allow so many people in at a time. Now, in Marion, I have not seen this being a problem where even a small store could not allow, you know, they haven't hit their capacity where they had to make people stand outside. But in Easton, on Saturday night, there were people standing outside. A matter of fact, I'll tell you, this came back to bite me a little bit. Because how many of you know about Cheryl's Cookies? Everybody loves Cheryl's Cookies. I would call them a gourmet cookie. Well, there is a Cheryl's Cookies in Easton. So I went in Easton last Saturday night with the person I was with. And the person says, "Do you like Cheryl's Cookies?" And I said, "Yeah, I like Cheryl's Cookies, but I have not had them in quite a while." Okay, so we go around the mall, and we do browsing, looking around, all the decorations, so on and so forth. And then it gets ready to leave the mall. We're getting ready to leave the mall to go get something to eat on Saturday night. And Cheryl's Cookies, being a smaller store in the mall, had a line outside. And the person I was with said I would go in and get us some Cheryl's Cookies, but the line is too long. And I do have to agree with the person. The line was too long. So because of the pandemic, now of all the things the pandemic has taken from us at this point, this past Saturday night at Easton, it took Cheryl's Cookies away from me. So think about that. We all lose things because of Cheryl's Cookies. But the flip side of that was, clearly people are not staying home. Now, I understand that this is hypocritical because obviously I was not home either. I was at Easton as well. But it is interesting to see the great numbers that people are out in. I did not expect it to be that busy. Carriage rides going on. Just people shopping. It was very busy. And the freestanding store that I went into was Macy's. And I'm not saying that Macy's is the greatest box store in the world. I guess that's dependent on your taste. But it just seems like every time I walk into a Macy's, especially at Christmas time, nobody touches Macy's when it comes to holiday music, holiday decorations, and holiday apparel, clothes, things of that nature. I don't know what it is about Macy's that they just get it done. I don't know if they put an awful lot of thought and effort into that, but Macy's, for me, has always been hands down at the holiday time the best place to shop if you want to get in the Christmas spirit. And the Macy's was doing very well there at Easton on Saturday night. And funny enough, as we were driving home on Saturday night, we went through Polaris, and Polaris Mall has an Easton or a Macy's as well. And it seemed to be doing well. We didn't go in, but it seemed to be doing well, the Macy's at the Polaris Mall. So a lot of stuff went on this past weekend, and I had a ton of fun at Easton. We kind of went through, trying to remember the town we went through before we went to Easton. But we went through another little area, and, oh, Westerville. We went through Westerville. And Westerville has some of the neatest stores that I have seen. Now, I know this is going to seem like I'm crazy, because I know you've probably heard of this store. Half Price Books. Half Price Books. Well, I wasn't planning on going there, but we were driving through Westerville, and I saw this sign that said Half Price Books, and I like books, and I like to give books as gifts. So we pull over, and I go into this Half Price Books, and I was totally shocked by the number of books they have, the number of books they have at really good prices, and the number of records and DVDs and VHS tapes and books that they have that you could no longer order because they are no longer in stock in the regular stores because they haven't been made in the last year. So if you can get to a Half Price Books, I think you're going to be really, really impressed if you're a fan of read. And they have every type of book you would ever want. They have the romance novels. They have the biographies. They have the nonfiction. They have the mysteries. They have the science fiction. They have the entertainment, military biographies. They just have everything. And a whole ton of DVDs, whole slew. And they even have a clearance section, even though they are half-price books. They have a clearance section where you can get books for under $5. So it's a really, really, really great store. Now, here's the odd thing. I had never seen one of these. Now, it's probably just me not paying attention. This is what I learned, because we went to the Half Price Books in Westerville, and as we were leaving Columbus on Saturday night, we stopped and ate in kind of the Polaris area. We ate at a Bob Evans in the Polaris area because there were waits at just about every other restaurant. So we were going to go to a Red Lobster, but it was like a half-hour wait or something. So we ended up at Bob Evans. And you know, the half-hour wait is a problem. Because of the curfew, all these dining areas close at 10 o'clock on Saturday night. So we did not get done shopping until it was probably 7:30. So if you're going into Red Lobster at 7:30 and you've got a possible half-hour wait before you can even sit down, you're going to run into some trouble, because by the time you sit down, you're going to be less than an hour away from closing. So because of that, we ended up at Bob Evans, which had no wait in the Polaris area. And we had a good meal and really good service, and that all turned out well. But we're on 23 coming back, but still pretty much in the Polaris area. And I look over just not far from where Bob Evans is, and there's a Half Price Books. Now, what are the odds? After being so impressed by this Half Price Books in Westerville, here's one right on 23, close to Polaris. So probably, unless you want to go to Westerville, to the one I was in, there is a Half Price Books on 23 in the Polaris area before you actually make the turn onto Polaris Parkway. It's right behind the Bob Evans there in the Polaris area. I didn't go into that one because it was late by that point. It was after 9, and most stores are closing at that point to clean up because of the curfew. But I'm going to have to go to that one sometime soon, because I really did enjoy the Half Price Book store. Now, I also, this, I love, I don't know if I've ever talked about this, but I love going to antique stores. I love going to thrift stores. I like doing that. Now, I don't like it for the reason that other people like it. It seems like other people go in there looking for clothes and things of that nature. What I like going into those places for, again, is books. Sometimes you can find rare books in there. I like records. I do have two record players at home. I think I've mentioned this on the air before. And I like finding old, you know, specialty Christmas decorations that you would not see sold in the store anymore. Stuff like that. That's what I look at when I go into these places. DVD players, VHS players, things like that, that you can't go into a store really and buy anymore. Like they were. So those are the things I look at when I go into a thrift store. So we go into one of these stores in Westerville, which is a nice area. So, you know, it seems like when you go into a thrift store in a nicer area, there are just nicer items, just the way it goes. So I'm in this thrift store in Westerville, and I'm going through the records, and I found two records. Now, and I bought... And also, by the way, let me tell you about the cashier. The records there are 50 cents a piece, which is a great price for a record. Because you go to some of these record stores and you will find out they are a lot higher priced than that. So they're both 50 cents. And you're not going to find these anyplace else. Maybe the internet, but you're going to pay shipping on them. So they're certainly going to be more than 50 cents. So I found two records I like, which amounted to a dollar. I get up to the counter to pay for these records. And I had bought some other items as well. And the girl at the counter did not know how much the records cost. She said, "Are these a quarter?" And I knew they were 50 cents. I mean, I had to think about it for a second because I had just glanced on the wall. But I said, no, I think they're 50 cents. And she said, "Well, I'm going to give them to you for a quarter." Now, that's the Christmas spirit. So I ended up getting both of these records for 50 cents. Now, here's what the records are. And this is the type of records I buy. Now, one of them, does anybody remember Arthur Godfrey? Arthur Godfrey was one of the first big names in radio, first big names in television. A matter of fact, he broadcast for years from the studio that Stephen Colbert now uses, which was the studio that David Letterman used, which was the studio that Ed Sullivan used. Well, the first person to have that studio was Arthur Godfrey, who was a big star in the early days of television and radio. They had a record that Arthur Godfrey had put out, probably in the 40s or 50s, of his greatest hits. Now, I haven't got a chance to listen to it yet, but I'd never seen an Arthur Godfrey record, so I bought that. The other thing I bought was, now, I don't know if you'll remember this name, but there was a guy, his name was Bob Harrington. Bob Harrington was known as the Chaplain of Bourbon Street. And what he used to do was he would go down in New Orleans on Bourbon Street and minister to the drunken people down on Bourbon Street. And his name was Bob Harrington, and that's where he had his congregation, and he used to tour around the country. Now, years ago, I interviewed Bob Harrington. I think the interview is probably still online. If you search Bob Harrington, Scott Spears, I imagine it's still up on YouTube. But I had never seen a record that Bob Harrington had put out, and there was a Bob Harrington record, the Chaplain of Bourbon Street, at this thrift shop in Westerville. So I bought it. I haven't listened to it yet, but basically it's him telling stories of his life. He had an interesting life because he was this chaplain of Bourbon Street, but then he got in trouble. I forget what he did, but he got in trouble doing some things that you wouldn't consider to be done by a chaplain or a reverend. And it got him in trouble, but he did come back and became the chaplain of Bourbon Street again for the rest of his life. So that was what I did on Saturday. Half-price books, thrift shop in Westerville, and then over to the Easton Mall, and then wrapped it all up with dinner at Bob Evans in Polaris. But I did not buy a whole lot in regard to the holiday, so I've still got to do that. Oh, and I'll tell you something else I found at the thrift shop. I am a big fan of the Grinch. I don't know why. I think it's because my favorite color is green, and I think it's because I like the story of the Grinch. So if anybody gives me a Grinch ornament, or anybody has anything to do with the Grinch, stuffed animals, books, I like it. I just enjoy the Grinch. So there was an item over in this thrift shop that looked like it had been put out by Hallmark years ago. And what it was the Grinch dressed as Santa in a refrigerator. Now, why in a refrigerator? I'm not really sure. So you open up this refrigerator, and the Grinch speaks. He's motion detected. He speaks, you know, Grinch sayings. Now, this was an iffy buy because it was not working at the thrift store. But, of course, it's battery operated. So the two thoughts were, it either is broken or the batteries are dead. But still bought it, still bought the item, brought it home, because it wasn't expensive at all, like $3.50 or something like that. So bought the item. Came home, put some batteries in it that night, and it started working like it was brand new. So now I have the Grinch in the refrigerator. So at this point, my Grinch collection is the book, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, but it's like a pocket book of that. Not quite as small as a pocket, but maybe middle-sized. It's not the big version of the book. I do have a Grinch doll that I think Kohl's was selling last year. And then I have the Grinch in the refrigerator now. But I like anything to do with the Grinch. Now, I'll tell you something else I'm looking for. Years ago, I interviewed Gayla Peavy. Gayla Peavy was the singer of I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. And I don't know why, but ever since then, I heard there were these ornaments that you put on your tree of a hippopotamus that will sing that song. And I guess also there are stuffed animals that will sing the hippopotamus song. So that's my new Christmas look for decoration idea. The hippopotamus tree ornament that sings I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas, or the hippopotamus stuffed animal that sings I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. I think mainly because I had interviewed Gayla Peavy. So anyway, talking to you, the listening audience, I'd love to get you on the toll-free line here. Do any of you have the hippopotamus ornament or the stuffed animal? Or do you collect Grinch items or anything else this time of year at Christmas? I know a lot of people do Hallmark ornaments and things of that nature. Or do you know where to find these items? Or have you been shopping? Because of the COVID, has the crunch hit you? Give me a call. Full swing of the Christmas season here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Do you collect anything? Have any of these items? What's going on out there in Marion this holiday season? Give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. Don't forget, coming up to today here on the station, we've got mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. We've got Voice of a People with Linda Sims from 4:10 p.m. to 5 p.m. today. And we have Mike Wilson today from 5:10 to 6. Now, today, I believe, if I am right on this, is the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. I believe that is today. Let me take a look. I'm almost positive. Yes, it is. Pearl Harbor happened on December 7th, 1941. December 7th, 1941. So what would that be? This is the 79th anniversary commemoration of Pearl Harbor. Next year will be the 80th. Yeah, 79th commemoration of Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. Now, today on Mike Wilson's show, he's going to have a World War II veteran who I believe is 97 years old, and Fred Malone, local historian, friend of the station, on to discuss Pearl Harbor. So stay tuned for that today, 5:10 to 6 p.m., the Mike Wilson Show, on this Pearl Harbor Day, 2020, 79th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Do any of you out there remember Pearl Harbor or what you were doing? It's interesting because I did not live through Pearl Harbor, so I had to look up the date that it was. I know it was this time of year, but I couldn't remember if it was December 7th or not, and I couldn't remember the exact year. I know it's in the early 40s, but I didn't know it was 1941. So December 7th, 1941 is essentially the event that got the ball rolling, that got the United States in World War II, when planes bombed Pearl Harbor, Hawaii. Does anybody remember that? Any of our listening audience out there listening to it as a kid on the radio, or having an adult parent or relative maybe going off to World War II, or any remembrances of Pearl Harbor? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, it's interesting. The events in our time that have happened on our soil that have caused probably the biggest tragedies have been Pearl Harbor and September 11th. Most other things happened overseas. Let's take this call here. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
You sit down there in Westerville. Did they have CDs, did you say?
Yeah, they had a ton of CDs down there at that Half Price Books.
Because they're coming, they're hard to find now. I heard Myers took theirs out, and Walmart don't have very many anymore, you know. But, okay, they got CDs. That's
yeah. And there's also a Half Price Books closer to us in the Polaris area, right there behind Bob Evans. So either one of those would be a great place to go.
Okay. Since you like records, did you ever hear that song Deck of Cards by Tex Ritter, 1942, I think it was? Deck of Cards.
You know, I don't know if I've heard that one. I know I've heard some of Tex Ritter, but I don't know if I've heard that one.
Well, he made the big hit. There's other people sung that song. I think four or five people sung it. But it's a deck of cards. It's about a serviceman. And his deck of cards is his Bible. But it tells, if you listen to it, it's amazing. I was told that a prisoner in the penitentiary someplace wrote this song. And it tells, like, there's 52 cards in a deck of cards. It's 52 weeks in a year. And it tells us 365 spots, I think, on a deck of cards. You can count all the spots. There's 365 days in a year. But it just goes on, and then it gets into the religious part, like there's the ace is for the king. And you'd have to go through all the steps, ace through king. And it tells a thing about it. And it is just as true as you could be. It tells, like, the four disciples. There's 4 months. I mean, I can't explain it all to you exactly. But you'd have to listen to it. If you listen to it, it's stirring. It's really stirring. The ones I told you, different ones, they like that song.
You know what, I'll have to look that up because I like things like that. You know, the reason I like the records, which is interesting, I like the musical records, they're interesting, but you know, it seemed, and I don't know why, when 8-tracks and CDs and cassette tapes came out, they got away from making comedy albums or spoken word albums, like the Bob Harrington and Arthur Godfrey. Those have no music on them at all. They're just stories and parts of old radio shows. And I don't know why they got away from that when they did cassette tapes and CDs. So those are the things, and comedy albums. Like, there are a ton of Phyllis Dillers out there, Dick Gregory's, big comedians, Richard Pryor, I saw some of those, George Carlin this past weekend. You know, those, and the artwork on the covers of records was just out of sight.
Well, you know, people used to crack records, the big ones. I probably got 1,000 of them.
Is that right?
I like records and 45s, and then when the CDs come out, they were so clear that, you know, I like that sound. You know, we got a couple these radios, it's Boise or Boise, however you pronounce it.
Bose.
They're high dollar, you know, but they're really, they play everything good. That's what I listen to you on every morning when we're listening to you.
Well, I hope we're coming through good.
hey, you're doing good. And it's interesting. Some of the things you bring up is really interesting, and I like that because nobody does it anymore, you know. But if you get a chance, look at it, write that down, the deck of cards.
Deck of cards, Tex Ritter.
And I'll call you back in a week or so and see if you listen to it or play it. When you do, you'll be impressed. You will be impressed.
I will do that. Well, hey, thank you for calling.
Okay, Scott. Thank you.
Bye. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Phone lines, here we go, 740-383-9944. We've still got 15 minutes left in this hour. See, I like information like that, because there is probably no chance in the world that I would have heard that song if the caller would not have recommended it there. This is how we get our information. This is why I worry about people not talking to each other anymore. You know, everything is happening through text messages. Everything is happening through emails. People are not talking. And if you're not talking, you're not sharing information. Sometimes you have to get in conversations that you never would have gotten into had you not ran into the person. So I love information. If anybody ever wanted to give me information, give me a call, 740-383-9944, even if it's not what I'm talking about. Call in and give me the information. But does anybody remember Pearl Harbor? Because today is Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, and Pearl Harbor happened December 7th, 1941. I would doubt that there's anybody out there listening today who went to war because of Pearl Harbor, because that's the early 1940s, so you would have to be late 90s or in your 100s right now. But today on Mike Wilson's show, he will have one of those people, I believe 97 years old, World War II veteran, and Fred Malone discussing Pearl Harbor and its impact on Marion, which I really like. So Mike does a great job, and he'll do a great job with that show today. And again, Voice of the People with Linda Sims, 4:10 to 5 p.m., and Mid-Morning Coffee Break with Adam Lepp when this show goes off today, 10:10 a.m. until 11 a.m. So that's the schedule today. All right. Now, does anybody else have items that they like? It's funny because sometimes the items we like are not in stores. Regular stores. You know, you can't go into a Meijer or a Walmart or a Macy's and find the items. You have to go to these places like Half Price Books, thrift shops, and you can find a lot of interesting stuff for people. That Grinch item that I picked up this past weekend, would have never found that anywhere else. You know what I was thinking the other day? And I'm not asking for this, so don't take it this way. But I've never seen anybody do Grinch cookies. Now, I'm sure they probably have. Now, by Grinch cookies, what I mean is like the Grinch's head on a sugar cookie. I've never seen that. Now, I would certainly buy those if they were available. And I'm not a big cookie eater, but if nothing else, I would do it just to buy them and show them around. Because, you know, the Grinch has a very unique face. He's got those yellow eyes, and he's green. And as I said, green is my favorite color. So that fits right in here at the holiday time. But how is your holiday shopping going? Do you have any memories of Pearl Harbor or anything I've said this morning, or anything else on the agenda? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, I don't know. Well, I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about this because we are a news station, and I think it's important to talk about this. The governor said on Friday, and it's on our news report today, that the curfew and the business inspections and the mask wearing is working, but it's not enough, that more is going to have to be done. Now, he's not saying what more is. Maybe we'll find out this week, but obviously the curfew and the mask wearing and the business inspections are not fulfilling what we need to have done. Because the hospitals are filling up. This is the big problem right now. This is what's causing the worry. And you know what? I'm starting to think about this pandemic in a completely different way. Because the number as of last week, I think December the 3rd, was last week. And this is in a week's period. And I'm not sure how they come up with these numbers. So you know, I just don't know, I guess is what I'm saying. But the number that's out there is 1 in 182 Ohioans. We're not talking outside the border of Ohio here. 1 in 182 Ohioans was diagnosed with or tested positive for COVID last week. And it says last week. I mean, can you imagine the number of people that are being diagnosed with this? And you can't go to work when you have it. You know, you have to take 2 weeks off at least, depending on your health conditions. And then the people around you have to quarantine. But 1 in 182 people, that's a big number. And I look back at this whole thing now. You know, I go back to middle of March when this all started, around March the 10th. And I think, did we ever think we'd be here? I don't know if we took it serious enough in the beginning. I think we did. We did do a shutdown in the beginning, the only time we did that. We did have the stimulus money that was sent out. We did, I think, try to do things that helped. But I don't know anymore. How do you get to this point where you're at the worst, more cases than you've ever had? More people dying, I think, at this point than you've ever had. And nearly 300,000 people dead in the United States who would not have been dead had it not been for this disease. And I just, that number, 1 in 182, that every 1 in 182 people were tested positive in Ohio last week for coronavirus, to me, that's just an obnoxiously big number. What do people think is the problem? What do you think is the problem? What is going on that's causing this massive, massive outbreak, where even now the health departments are getting overrun? The hospitals are already overrun. There's no doubt about that. But the health department is getting overrun, and tomorrow we're going to have Tracy Kinsler on, and that's why I'm saving that conversation for her. But even they're changing the way they're doing things because they're overwhelmed at this particular point. And I'm going to ask her if that's why they're changing things, because they're overwhelmed. I would think that's probably it. You know, my goodness, they're only a small health department here in town. How do you handle all these cases that are coming in and all these people who are being hospitalized? It must be a mess, which leads us back to the governor, who at this point, what can he do? He's going to do more. That's what he said. He's going to do more, and he really said no more than that on Friday. What do you think the governor's going to do? Because we're going to find out here sometime this week, I would imagine. I don't think he can continue to wait much longer. I don't think he can kick this can down the road, because he knows the curfew and the business inspections and the mask wearing are not enough, so he said on Friday. He knows this, and he knows he's going to have to do more. And I'm sure there were a lot of meetings going on this past weekend to figure out exactly what that more is going to be. I don't know. I think he's trying everything possible not to shut down the businesses, because it's Christmas, and it hurt the retailers the first time. And I think even when he did this curfew, he said, you know, one of the reasons I don't want to shut down the businesses is because I'm sure this is going to kill some businesses permanently. So what do you do? Is there anything left that can be done short of shutting down retail businesses and restaurant lobbies? Because they're always going to leave the grocery stores open because people have to get food. And they'll leave restaurant drive-thrus open because there's not much of a chance you're going to get it that way, because it's not heavy contact. But is there any chance at this point the governor can do anything in regard to stopping this outbreak besides shutting the restaurants down again, the insides, and shutting the retail businesses down, which was done in the beginning? Do you think there is anything at this point that can be done besides that to curve this problem we're having? Because we've got to get the hospitals back to where they're not overwhelmed. That, to me, at this point, is probably our biggest problem. It's not about the money. It's not about the ventilators at this point. In the beginning, we were worried about PPE and ventilator production. Now we're just running out of room. So you've got to keep people away from each other. That seems to be what has to happen. And how are you going to do that if you don't shut down certain areas? Does anybody have any thoughts on this? Give me a buzz. We still have time this hour. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And as I say, I'm sure the governor does not want to do this. But I don't know what else he can do. I just don't know. I mean, the mask mandate is in place. If you're a retailer, you have to have your customers and employees wearing masks. They're sending workman's comp, one of the bureaus, out to check that. They've got that going on. They've got the curfew in place. What else can they do at this point if not shut down the restaurant lobbies and the stores? It just is really becoming a big, big problem. Does anybody have any idea on this at all? In our final few minutes here in hour number one, 740-383-9944, give me a buzz. Do want to remind you again, if you want to send a letter to Santa Claus, you will get one back as long as you send your letter very, very quickly. Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. That's Santa Claus, P.O. Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana, 47579. And also, if you want to send us a Christmas card, we will send you one back as long as you provide your return address, WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. That's WWGH Radio, 165 West Center Street, Suite 208, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Provide your return address. We will get you a Christmas card back, and we will display your card here in the WWGH studios. So that's how it goes. Phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. And we again thank the Heimlich family and the Shirk family for sending us Christmas cards last week. And we hope they continue to flood in here. We like sending Christmas cards out. So the more Christmas cards we get, the more we will send out. And we enjoy doing that. It's fun to do that. And I hope that's not something that gets lost over the years, the sending of Christmas cards. Now, as I say, we're going to learn about... here's something. We did so much on language last week. Now, here's one that has to do with Christmas. Now, is it elf or elf? Because I'm looking at this collection of letters that have come into Santa Claus, Indiana, Santa Claus, since the 1930s, and it's elf, E-L-V-E, elves, E-L-V-E-S. But, like elf on a shelf is E-L-F. So, are Santa Claus's friends, are they elves or elves? Is it elves or elves? Or do we even know? Go ahead, caller.
Hi, Scott. The English police have arrived at your door.
Oh, good.
Asking about elf. You've heard elf and shelf. Well, again, just like we talked about last week, it's a quirk of our lovely language. It's elf and elves as a plural, and shelf and shelves. It's not shelves. There are some words that you can have, and we have proofs. It's not proves, but that's just our language. It's quirky, and that's part of what makes it so much fun. But I've never heard of elf as being a singular. I mean, it might be some alternate. It might be some old English, because English
I've heard people say an elf, E-L-V-E.
Yeah, I always say elf and elves. And then we have words like fish, where the plural of fish is either fishes or fish. They're really both correct. So elf may be some old-fashioned method. It might be regional, where in some parts of the country they would say that. But
People say fishes?
Elves and shelf and shelves, not shelf.
See, I don't know. I've never heard people say fishes. People say, I went and I caught a lot of fish.
Yeah, there is a slight difference in the usage. You would probably say a lot of fish, because fish as a collective. But then fishes, it's like all the fishes in the ocean. Like, remember the song Longer by Dan Fogelberg? He says longer than fishes in the ocean. Of course, songs often say ain't or other grammar that is incorrect. But in that case, I would say fishes is preferred. But they're somewhat interchangeable, and based on the context, one may be preferred over the other. Like, yeah, a lot of fish. But fishes meaning the different kinds of fish.
You know, I'm going to ask the guest next hour. I think Santa's number one elf or elf would know the answer to this.
Yeah, I would expect that there in Santa Claus, Indiana. I'm going to look for that Gail Peavy thing, because that is a great song. You know how much I like the novelty Christmas songs. Those are my favorite kinds.
Yeah.
And she was such a gracious guest. I love that interview.
Well, hey, I thank you, Adam. We're going to break. Coming back with our guest, Pat Koch, Santa's number one elf or elf, however you want to say it. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you.
All right, we're coming back in 10 minutes.
And they sing, 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 sing. Ah. And the more the Grinch thought of this whole Christmas scene, the Grinch thought of stop